Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, please, excellent ones. This week, I'm hoovering with lovely, funny, extremely clever sausage off Taskmaster, as well as 100 other cool things, comedian Phil Wang. Yes, please. Are you having a nice time listening to Hoovering as a rule? Then, please may you do it a 5-star review and subscribe to it, and, like, tell a few mates about it. Oh, thanks. If you've got any money, you can help the podcast by sharing that too. For a one-off squidge of money, maybe like a coffee or a lunch's worth, go to supporter.acast.com/hoovering. Or if you wanted to help out in a more regular way, you can become my patron. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. I will give you, in exchange for your hard-earned pennies, a monthly amount of pounds from as little as 2, I believe, a month. Podcast-related stuff like guest recipes, discount or free tickets to live and virtual live shows, and lots of very exclusive content just for patrons. Also, I've just added a function, because it's just become an option too, where you can pay your patronage amount for the whole year off in one wallop, rather than paying however many bucks a month. And that way, you get 10% off. My stand-up show, Hench, which was on tour in the early part of the year before the old COVID hopped along, has been rescheduled. Most of it into the new year, one of them in Poole on the 24th of October. I think that's still going ahead at the time of recording this. I would keep checking, because who knows? All the tickets, though, for the rescheduled dates, all of the rest of which are into the new year. I've just added dates for Guildford and Liverpool are on my website, jessicafosterq.com. Click on My Doings. It's just Aldershot and Manchester dates now to be added. So, let's have a podcast. Phil came around to my house and, under the urging of a former guest, the amazing chef Sven Hansen-Britt, you join us preparing and then eating chocolate. Really, really, really posh chocolate that was a gift from Sven. On toast. Grated onto buttery toast. Well, on crumpets, actually, because that's all I add in. Dinosaur-shaped crumpets. What's happening now is I'm grating a block from a kilogram brick of very posh chef's chocolate called Amadei.
And the chocolate looks like it's come from a comedically large chocolate bar.
Yeah.
It's obviously got the same shapes as a chocolate bar, but amplified 40 times.
Oh, God.
And you're grating chocolate onto mainly our plates.
Mainly just plates. Yeah, because, so the chef said, Sven Hansen Britt said, bake a piece of toast, put proper butter on it, and then grate this chocolate on. But we, Phil and I, have decided it'd be more exciting than toast to have a dinosaur-shaped crumpet from a co-op called a Crumpet Creation.
Yeah.
So we've done that. I think I've got chocolate in my butter forever now. Oh God, I just need to get a photograph because it's absolute fucking catastrophe on the tidiness front.
It's Jess and a famous chocolate butter.
Oh dear. Oh yeah. My God. I do think...
I mean, I want to eat it. I want to eat it.
It's exactly what I was going to say.
I want to eat my
plate
now.
Okay. I've got some really snazzy salts. I think you're supposed to sprinkle a bit of salt on.
Gosh, Jesus Christ.
What, are you worried about your heart?
No, never.
Look, and it looks like bum cheeks. It's left a chocolate bum cheek imprint, like someone's done a photocopy of their buttocks on my kitchen surface. This is what's outlined. I think we're going to need knives and forks.
Oh, I was totally going to hand this up.
Are you going to hand this in?
Yeah, I was going to give it a little hand job.
Should I just palm it in?
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I don't know, you just give me a single fork. I don't know what I'm going to do with that.
And a knife.
Oh, and a knife, okay. And this changes everything. Okay.
Okay. This is exciting. Oh my gosh. With peppermint tea. The peppermint tea is so virtuous. And then we've got shaved chocolate on crumpet with butter.
Diamond and dinosaur shaped crumpet.
Do you think it is a dinosaur? It's pretty ambiguous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just sort of ridges. It looks like a sort of squashed Britain.
I was going to say, my geography is dog shit. I'm sure it looks like a map of somewhere, but I'm not good enough at joggers to know.
Okay.
Oh.
So you're putting some salt on. I've put a little bit of salt on. I've got my first fork crystal here ready of okay. Crumpet and chalk
okay.
And butter.
Okay, and chalk and butter has gone in. Okay, I'm going to catch up quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good noise. That sounds like a good noise.
Mm. It's like if you turned a really good hot chocolate into a crumpet.
Yeah.
Do you know? I mean, you can taste that it's very high quality.
Wow.
Chalk.
It's really nice, isn't it?
The chocter is in.
God, I'm into it. Yeah, I'm really into it, actually.
Yeah, it's lovely.
I thought it might... It's because the chocolate's so snazzy, it's not sickly at all. If anything, it could be a bit sweeter, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's disgusting, actually.
Real change in them.
Now you point that out. Yeah, it's actually... I think we're going to be sick. No, you're right. It has the sophistication of eating a dark chocolate, but without the horrible taste.
Yeah. Do you hate dark chocolate?
What I hate more are people who insist they love dark chocolate, and I don't believe them. I don't believe them. Oh yeah, I love chocolate, but only if it's gross. You know, I don't like the delicious, sweet, smooth sensation of milk chocolate. It's for children.
Josh Widdicombe used to have a bit of material absolutely fucking years ago about how dark chocolate tastes a bit like paracetamol. I think that's nailed it, doesn't it? There is something medicine-y about it.
Yeah.
But in this context, it just in tiny shavings. Both of us expected as I was grating it for it to come out in bigger chunks like cheese does.
Yes, but what's actually happened is that it grates fine enough that it just sort of melts into a Nutella-like spread onto your crumpet.
Yeah, and so little actually makes it onto the crumpet that the main joy in this is swooping up the shavings off the plate. Yes.
I love it.
What great... That is great. I'm really happy about it. I'm going to grate more chocolate in my life. I'm going to spend more time grating chocolate.
Interesting.
I wonder how it worked with chocolate with other things in, like a Twix.
Yes.
If you're going to make this much mess anyway,
I think caramel you'd be hard pushed to get through a grater.
Yeah.
Mm.
The biscuit in a Twix might be interesting.
Yep.
To put through a grater.
Pretty explosive.
An M&M?
Ooh, that's dangerous in terms of finger slicing. You've got such a small surface area to try and rub over the blade.
An M&M is actually probably more a mortar and pestle.
Yeah, situation, it's true, isn't it? You want to smash it up with a pestle and mortar.
Pestle and mortar, mortar and pestle. It is pestle and mortar.
Yeah, did you say it the other way around?
I said mortar and pestle.
I prefer, well...
You're right, though, it's pestle and mortar.
We can say it however we want. So I thought from another TV show thing that you did that you didn't like bread because somebody made you a noodle burger.
That's right, on Big Zoo, Big Eats on Dave. My hatred of bread has been exaggerated in the press. I it's not that I actively hate it, I don't give a shit about it.
Difference there actually.
Yeah, there is.
Do you think that's to do with like it's how our language is going, isn't it? If you're like, I went on holiday recently and the woman that ran the place on holiday almost said, "Are you a horse person?" And I've been trying to get some material out of it because I was like, "Well, I don't hate horses, but I couldn't give a fuck."
Mm.
And that makes me very much not a horse person. But to a horse person, therefore, the fact that I couldn't tell one horse from another or want to know its name, I don't really even want to see a picture of it, to them that's horse hatred. That's
exactly
what, it's equine phobic.
That's right and you're right, it is about the polarization of values.
Yeah, all or nothing, isn't it?
Yeah
Oh god, I'm not a good enough horse ally to,
yeah. I've actually been meaning to talk to you about this. I brought some books.
I'm surprised you still came round.
I brought some books for you to educate yourself on.
Okay.
On equine history.
Okay.
just so you can grow.
Yeah. But I'm interested in, because I don't know, I think I fall in and out of love with bread. By which I mean, having just sort of done the thing I was just... rooting, by which I mean I care about it to varying degrees. It's not to do with love
bread.
Or hatred. Yeah, I'll have a 6 months where I'll be like, it's all about the bread, all about the bread. Especially breakfast time, I think. I think there's certain things very hard to have without any bread, like soup. Or
I had soup
an
yesterday.
Egg, hard-boiled egg. You just having that on its own?
A hard-boiled egg on bread? That's very dry. That's very dry.
It's buttery toast.
Yeah, I'll have a fried egg on bread. I've been having toast for breakfast quite consistently for a long time now.
Okay.
Mainly because of the convenience.
Yeah.
I've also gotten back to cereal, just because I'm so fucking lazy in the morning.
Yeah, fair play.
And also, I've never been a breakfast person.
Yeah.
So I just kind of plug the gap until lunch.
Yeah.
Which is the meal of kings.
Lunch is your best meal.
I think so, because lunch. Why? Because lunch is a break.
Yeah.
And it's the only meal that's a break. We don't give it that due often enough. Lunch is the only meal that is a break.
It's a lovely
breakfast
break,
is the start, then is the end. But lunch is the only meal in the day that bothers to give us some respite in this horrible world.
Yeah, and you know that if you're not taking a break over lunch, if you're having a working lunch, then you've got your work-life balance wrong.
That's right. That's right. And you need to read... Eat, Love, Pray, probably?
Yeah, probably. Eat, Pray, Love.
Or maybe the Facebook Ladies one about leaning in.
Lean In, I think it's called.
Yeah, Lean In. So you can lean into your lunch.
Lean right into it.
Away from
it. I don't think she's had many lunch breaks. She'd leant too far in. She'd leant on. Sheryl Sandberg, amazing woman. Amazing book.
Have you read it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I read it when I was pregnant. Lots of people were reading books during their pregnancies about how to be great mothers, and I read one about how to really get on in my career. A bit of a worry.
See, no, I disregarded it because it seems very much specific to the office-based career, that book.
Yeah.
Were there lessons from it that you've been able to apply in our sole trader pirate-like industry?
100%.
Yeah. Really?
I was worried about that. I thought, is this going to be a big fat waste of my time? But it wasn't. It's beautifully written, and actually it's really empowering. Mm. It sort of ultimately come out of it going, well, you could take more risks. It's risky to put your hand up in some situations, and it's sort of... It gives you a bit of armour to... I mean, it's got nothing to do with eating, but it gives you a little bit of... at least internal armour to any accusation of you being... I think this is a woman in those situations, being told that you're being a bit noisy or a bit aggressive or a bit bullish or domineering. Because you can go, well, no, actually, all I did was ask for my turn.
Yeah.
Or say, I'd probably be good at this.
Yeah.
It gives you a little
bit... And so in that sense, that applies to, say... putting yourself forward for shows and...
Exactly, and like, and sort of, and apologising a bit less for nothing.
Apologising less is great. I started apologising less.
Yeah.
It's especially hard if you're British, because it's so deeply...
Yeah.
Sewn in to the personality.
Exactly. Totally.
But anyway.
I think that's as well with... To vaguely have it on theme. Have you ever eaten anything out of Britishness, out of awkwardness or embarrassment? I think everybody has at some point. But like... maybe you just endured that because it was part of the podcast.
No, I really like that.
I thought...
It's part of the appeal.
Different to anything I've ever eaten, which is an exciting thing to do.
Part of the reason I came here in person... Because you did offer to do this over Zoom.
Yeah.
But I said... No way, Jose, because I wanted to try some of this chocolate. Mainly, yes. I mean, of course I wanted to see cat food, but also I wanted to try this chalk.
Yeah.
And it didn't disappoint, although that's delish. It's a lot like Hagelslag.
What's that?
In Holland,
yeah.
For breakfast they have toast and butter and chocolate sprinkles.
Oh,
and
it's called,
I think it's called Hagelslag. But it's more fun to call it Hagelslag.
It's much more fun to call it Hagelslag. That sounds lush, but is it sweeter than this?
Yeah. The chocolate itself is less refined, I think.
The Europeans really do love a bit of chocolate on their breakfast, don't they?
They hate breakfast. The Europeans are committed to fucking up breakfast every day. It's amazing, all these centuries of civilization.
Yeah.
And like, fucking celebrated up food cultures.
I'm thinking of things like a pastry with a really big coffee. That's not a fucked up breakfast.
Yes, it is. What is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a nutritional value of a pack of crisps for breakfast. What is
it's
it?
True, actually. It's not much going on.
There's no substance. There's no interest. There's no protein. Like, you know, British food doesn't always get the best press. In a lot of cases, that is warranted, but... At the risk of sounding a bit ideally, the full English is an undefeatable breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, it's undeniably better than anything Europe has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want sweets for breakfast, I guess Europe is all right, but...
Yeah.
Should you be having sweets for breakfast?
Well, it's up to you, isn't it?
Sorry, is this... Is this Sandberg again?
Not Sandberg. Just leant in and didn't fully agree. No, I don't ever feel like sweet things at breakfast time. So I think I'm biased.
Yeah.
I've never given a shit about sweet things at breakfast. People get so excited about pastries and I think, I'm into it, but I do, like, even a croissant, put some cheese in that guy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, now we're talking. Maybe even a tomato, tangy tomato in there.
You know what I found over the summer? I think over the summer, I want a sweet breakfast.
Oh, did you?
Over the winter, I want a salty breakfast. Because when it's hot, I wake up dehydrated. And the last thing you want when you're thirsty is something salty.
Okay.
So I wake up needing something juicy, so I go for like jam or whatever.
Yeah.
When it's, you know, otherwise you want something salty. I've just made up that theory and... I think under any pressure, it will crumble.
I won't test it. You won't catch me testing it. What have you? So that's something you've noticed this summer. But are you quite consistent? Have you? I suppose maybe if you talk to me about eating growing up.
Oh yeah.
Were you ever a fussy boy? Or were you always a brave boy? I get the idea that you're quite a brave adventure eater now.
Oh yeah, no, I've always been brave. I grew up in Malaysia, and the you know, a lot of the food there is not necessarily for the faint of heart, but it rewards brave eating, because there's a lot of stuff there that's delish. But Malaysian food is quite ugly as a cuisine. Right. It's quite sort of brown and messy.
Yeah.
And it isn't like bright and cheerful like Thai and Vietnamese stuff. And so I think it's a harder sell, but it's delish.
Yeah.
And it's rich and it's earthy and it's savory. I think that's where I got my savory sort of edge, is in Malaysian food. And
nice. Tell me about what's a Malaysian... is there a Malaysian food I might have ever heard of?
Nasi goreng is quite famous.
Yeah.
Laksa. Laksa's coming up. Mm. Laksa's doing quite well right now.
Yeah.
A couple of good places, Laksa places in London.
Oh, nice. Also, I feel like there's Laksa recipes everywhere in every Guardian Sunday supplement. And
there'll
be a Laksa recipe.
It's having its day in the Sun's culture supplement.
And it's like a kind of... Is it like a noodle soup with coconut milk, or like a milky soup rather than like a brothy soup? Is that about right?
I guess it's always called a curry broth.
A curry broth, right.
So it's like, it's kind of like a curry, but not like thick like a curry. It's like a curry soup, if you can imagine it.
Yeah.
But yeah, coconut milk and chili and sambal, which is a Malaysian Indonesian paste of like shrimps and chilies all squished up.
I think I've got a little jar of it somewhere.
Yeah, I buy it.
Never opened.
That's such a sad poem. It's the saddest story ever told.
Sorry.
A jar of sambal never opened.
Oh, okay. So I like it that you're always a brave boy eating then. But on a scale of 1 to 10, do you... like, I know you don't care about bread, but do you care about eating? Yeah. Consume your thoughts a lot. It's really great, fun thing to do, isn't it?
It's fun. It's empowering.
Is it?
You feel like God making a delicious meal, making food for people.
Yes.
I love like coming up with a dinner party and like pairing the wines and deciding what goes with what. And
that's serious.
That's fun.
Grown up stuff. Are you a wine man?
Big wine man. Over the last couple of years, started becoming a real dweeb about it.
Do you get wines from anywhere swanky? Over lockdown, I've which has been silly actually, because I've very much lived beyond my means, but been trying different places to get like a case of wine, like a little box of six wines.
I joined the Wine Society, which I really
good.
They're really good. They have their own label stuff, which is like really cheap, really high quality. They're really good.
Do you like red and white wine?
I used to, when I started, it was just red.
Yes.
I was like, I'm a man and I drink red wine. But over time, my palate became a little more sophisticated. And especially over the summer and stuff. Yeah. And as temperatures have gotten hotter, I've started to appreciate white wines. And I learn a bit more about them and know a bit more about them. So now I like all of it. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I was the same. Well, I only ever liked red wine. And then in 2013, I gave up smoking. And like genuinely effectively for a few years at least. And then my palate changed like drastically. And I liked white wine for the first time. I never hated white wine, but I had a thing where I could drink shit red wine if I had hardly any money, or like, you know, it's whatever, pub, like a pub wine or whatever, where it wasn't snazzy. But crap white wine made me feel like really vinegary and like gross. I couldn't bear it. Like I was, like, could feel the damage it was doing to me as opposed to any level of enjoyment.
Yeah, it's got less cover, hasn't it?
White wine. It's less places to hide. It's got nowhere to hide.
Yeah, that's it.
Which doesn't make any sense, because you can hide lots of sins by making something very cold. So it should have more places to hide. Who knows?
That's... true.
Because there's lots of things that I like. Like, I can't drink... I love beer and lager and stuff, but it does have to be so cold. So
that's right. Have you ever... Yeah, you taste a warm lager and you're like, is this what it actually tastes like?
Yeah. Oh, what have I been... Yes, have you been conning me? delicious.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's the swankiest thing you've ever eaten?
The swankiest?
Yeah, the poshest thing. The snazziest thing.
The poshest single...
It can be a meal. It can be a restaurant you went to or a series of meals that you had.
The snazziest thing I've ever eaten is there's this really great restaurant in London on Brick Lane called Datera, and they have a Michelin star.
Wow.
And for my birthday, I went with my sister for dinner there. And one of the starters was like little canapes, tight, like perfectly formed special canapes that were placed on a large piece of coral.
What?
And they set down this large piece of coral and sort of like it was sort of with the grace and beauty of a Zen garden, they place these little canapes in the nooks and crevices of this little coral sculpture.
Wow.
That was like the fanciest thing I've been presented with, I guess.
Extraordinary, because so obviously if the coral was there even as a plate, it was dead, right? It's dead. Coral dies, doesn't it, once you've fished it out of the old sea?
Oh, right, yeah.
Does it?
Surely. Yes. I think a lot of coral is dead in the sea right now anyway.
Yeah, a lot of coral's dead in the old sea right now. Yeah. That sun got really hot. And then, but yeah, so it's like quite a statement plate, isn't it, to use coral, like a...
I hadn't even considered the environmental implications, but I don't think they were going out and murdering coral.
No, I don't think they massacred the coral. I don't think there's been coral genocide on that restaurant's watch. But it does feel like a very loaded use of a thing for a plate. But maybe they didn't think about that either, and they were like, this is just aesthetically beautiful. And it's very decadent and arty of this.
Yeah, exactly.
So arty, farty.
It's also a great way to present tiny things.
Yeah.
Tiny little bullshit things suddenly look quite substantial.
Right.
You know.
Oh, God, placed, what an amazing thing.
Place upon a
And then sometimes when you touch coral, it can be quite dangerous, like and for hurting yourself on the finger skin. Did that happen?
No, it was a pretty smooth... It was a smooth guy.
It was a smooth one.
Yeah, it wasn't like a jagged...
It's like my nana, when I was growing up, always had a very smooth shell out of the sea in her. Big one, though. White with brown bits that you held to your ear. To
like a curly to one.
Yeah, curly-whirly. Yeah. Like a real-life Gillian.
Oh, those chocolates.
Yeah. Yeah, like one of those swirly ones of those.
Nice, fun.
Or there's a pasta that looks like that as well, isn't there? Or like a teardrop with a swoopy little top.
It's got like a conchella or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Ironically, I only ever get them in TK Maxx. Because they've
TK Maxx sells pasta.
It's got pasta often, in the Lewisham one has, in the
TK Maxx?
TK Maxx does, Phil.
I didn't even know they had sold food.
They sold... Pasta?
Just pasta.
Posh, posh pasta on your...
Just pasta and jeans.
Just pasta, jeans and children's shoes and Calvin Klein pants and half of a bikini. But when you're in the queue, there's like random knickknacks to your left and right and on some of them shelves. Some of them's pasta.
Like in big baskets.
No bags, but they're all...
I mean like the bags are in like big...
No, they're in shelf. They'll be like on a shelf.
Oh, okay, okay.
Set of shelves, yeah. But they'll be next to like vitamin D supplements for children ages 6 to 8. Like it's very kind of the kind of Aldi little section of TK Maxx. It's just on the run up to paying.
Nice one.
Just
nice.
Last minute. Yes. Actually, I do want some Contraligi pasta that's green, brown, red, and yellow.
It's fine, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just great salesmanship, if nothing else. It's worked on me. Do you ever think about the environment when you're doing eating?
All the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I eat very little beef, and when I do eat beef, I feel bad about it.
Right.
I had a vegan lunch today, and I didn't even have to. No one even made me do it.
Nope.
But I made myself a dal.
Lush.
And with rice, because I just felt like I just really wanted it. Mm. I saw Yotam Ottolenghi do it on Sunday brunch yesterday, and I just sort of tried to remember what he did.
Were you on Sunday brunch? Were you watching it?
I was just watching it on TV, and they had Ottolenghi on, which is quite a get, don't you think?
That's a lockdown catch, isn't it?
Sexy Sunday guy. Brunch. Have you seen Yotam Ottolenghi?
He's such a sexy guy.
He's so sexy.
I went to his restaurant once in Soho, and he was there, sat on a tall stool at the counter, and we just drooled over at him.
Wow. I've been to that restaurant. What's it called?
Novu? Is it Novu or Nobu? Nobu. Yeah, Nobu. That one?
Maybe I haven't been to the other one, maybe, nearby.
There are a few. He's got one in Spitalfields now and one in Soho. Anyway.
It's very good
stuff. Oh my God, it's so good.
But yeah, he's a pretty hot guy. Yeah, and it was... I don't think I had the right lentils, and they were 2 years out of date.
Lentil could go out of date.
Well, that's the thing. It's best before.
Horrible news.
This is the difference between best before and news by, right?
What type of lentil did you use?
I don't remember.
Was it like a little orange guy? Was it a big chunky yellow guy?
Was like a greeny, greeny browny kind of guy. I think you want a yellowy orangey one for it, don't you?
I feel like maybe you've accidentally used a French guy, like a poi lentil, which holds its shape too well almost.
That's it. It hasn't got mushy.
They're great if you want to make something like a vegan, like mince alternative, but not.
The thing is, I just wanted to use it up because it's just a bag of them 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's fine, but I've essentially made a sort of coconutty stir fried lentils. So it's not quite work, but it was fine.
I'm sure. It will just taste of whatever fit spices you put in.
Can't just mild wrong. Curry powder, turmeric, bit of cayenne pepper and some garam masala. It's just what was in the cupboard.
Sounds great.
And some chilies and threw in some tomato and onion. It
sounds great.
It was good and it felt good going down. But also, like it never got to the mush. It never mushed up.
Never as a felt dal good going down. And it's like the day we're recording this is it's cold.
I'm so glad. It's we're recording.
It's a chilly, cold, crispy day. But it's still sunny. This is like the dream team for me. This bright... Nice, and bright, but crispy.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's great working weather, actually.
I hate summer so much, and I'm glad it's dead. I hate it so much. I hate it with every fibre of my being.
Because it makes you feel lethargic, or don't like being sweaty.
I hate being sweaty. You can't sleep properly. Britain's not built for it. There's no air conditioning.
That's true.
Because
London especially is terribly built.
It would be a false economy to prepare for it because it only applies a couple of months or 1 month max, whatever.
Yeah.
And so there's no point preparing for it. You just have to deal with it when it's here.
Yeah.
And it's horrible and uncomfortable. You don't sleep well.
Yeah.
And it's tougher to drink red wine.
That's true, yeah.
Red wine is less appealing.
Yeah, that's the really annoying thing about the summer I've never thought about.
I have to start drinking white wine. Everyone's noisy and topless and outside. And I hate it. I love autumn. Autumn is my favourite season. It's reflective and calm and I like the colours.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm.
I've always felt like a bit of a renegade loving autumn so much, but it's the best, actually.
It is the best.
I thought that was because I grew up in a seaside town and it's very packed with English tourists. This year, unlike any other time in all of history, I've never ever seen it so busy. And it's kind of, if you're from there or live there, I mean, it needs it for the economy of the place, but it's horrible.
Yeah.
And the calm of when schools start again and that stops, you've still got the odd sunny day, or sometimes even in October half term, you can still swim in the sea, and that's just amazing.
Apparently, that's why the sea is at its coldest in April.
Right.
Because it takes time for the water to
cool. And now it'll take it time for it to cool down again. Sometimes. Yeah,
so you still should be all right for a bit.
Do you like swimming in the sea? It's got nothing to do with it. No, so another reason why you don't like the
because
sun.
Because I am not a lady in 2020, all of whom seem obsessed with swimming in the wild. I should have invested in wild swimming a year ago. I'd be lockdown proof financially if I invested in fucking wild swimming. What happened?
I do feel like anybody who's bought a river, a lake, and or created a cookbook in these times has
gone into astrology. Astrology and wild swimming. We're reverting to barbarism. Just going back into the lakes and the stars. It's always terrifying.
We've just had too long in our own heads.
We're
devolving.
Technology went too far and now we've come full... Gone full 180 and then...
Do you think technology might affect how we eat in the future? It's got to, hasn't it?
I think the greatest change is the availability that technology has provided, just with like delivery services and all that sort of thing. I did a technology show in China and there's like a food printer and stuff.
Oh, wow. A 3D printer for food, like in Star Trek.
Yeah, a 3D printer for food. And you can put in the design and do the food in whatever shape. But then you still have to fill the canisters with potato and food. Right, yeah, exactly. Right. So people go on about, you can print food. You still have to buy the food. You still have to just put... Yeah. All it is you can have food in a different shape. That's all a food printer does. You just have to buy the food.
I mean, a pasta maker's been doing that for us for centuries.
Exactly. And knives. Before that.
Before that, hands.
The knives of the body.
The body's natural squidgy knives. are you into
That's
cooking?
What the karate chop originally was, of course.
Squidgy knife.
Yeah, it's just a way of of making sushi. It's all they could do before metal.
Are you into cooking?
Yeah, I really enjoy cooking. I use it as a distraction. It's my main, like when I should be working, I'll go, I should probably make a very complicated lunch. and then I try and experiment with things and sometimes I really fuck up. But
more than following recipes then, like making stuff up. Did you cook even when you were little? Were you encouraged?
No, not really. It's in my 20s I learned to cook and got addicted to it. At first I would look up recipes and just follow them like by the letter, but now I make things up and improvise and try and do things by eye. And sometimes I mess up, like I for some friends recently I did confit pork chops.
Oh my god,
it doesn't work.
What's that then? What does confit mean?
Confit is traditionally with duck and you basically slow boil it in duck fat,
right,
and it sort of gets really tender, and before that you cure it for about a day, so it's already salty and herby, and it gets really tender. It looks kind of gross, but then you brown it after you've confit it, and you get this really succulent, greasy, hedonistic, tasty, salty duck, and it's great. And I thought, maybe I'll do that with pork chops, and it doesn't work. The pork just gets really hard and kind of tough.
Oh no!
But I've committed, and people are coming, so it was fine. Oh. So sometimes the experiments don't work. Sometimes they kind of do. I made a mango feijoada for a vegan friend.
What's a feijoada?
A feijoada is a Brazilian bean stew, usually with pork belly and little bits of pork in it, and black beans.
I love Brazilian black bean stew.
Yeah,
even the delicious. Leon one, the vegan one, is fit.
Oh really? I've not had that. But I thought I had a vegan friend coming. He's like, I'll make a vegan one. I wanted to get jackfruit, which is like the go-to meat substitute, but I couldn't find any. But mango went really nicely with.
Oh, nice! Also, jackfruit is there's no protein in it. It is just like a sweet kind of.
It's just fibers.
Basically looks vaguely with the right fiddling, like pulled pork.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste of anything. It's just a flavour absorber.
that. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
But then I told so the chef at Da Terra, that restaurant, I told him that he's Brazilian, and when I went over, he was asking us if we like feijoada, and I said I'm making my feijoada myself, and I said I tried. Oh no, I didn't tell him about the mango one. I told him about the meat one I did where I put in Cumberland sausages. And he was terrified. He was horrified.
Oh, really?
Well, he didn't even laugh it off. As like, oh, that's fast, sounds fun. His face just dropped and went, no.
Oh, really? You're not supposed to have like a peppery northern sausage in there.
Just Richmond's.
Richmond sausages. It's meant to be treats, though, did you say? Or like a cured sausage?
It's like pork belly and these little... offcuts, so like bits of skin a little bit of gut and that sort of thing.
Bit of using everything up.
Yeah, and it's really delish.
Oh god, it does sound delish. A pork belly. I don't eat meat really anymore, apart from very, 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 very rarely. But pork belly is one of the things that is. I was like, oh god, this cat thinks he lives with me.
Ah, it's a black and white cat. Just jump to the window.
Yeah, his name is Nonrad. My fiance's got a cat called Conrad who looks a lot like this guy, so we've called him Nonrad.
Right.
So Nonrad...
He's like the opposite cat, and if they touch, they'll explode.
Look at the way that he looks. Sometimes in the night... Oh, God, so this is really bad. But so basically, this has been going on for a year and a half, but then he... about a month ago looked real bad, like got really, really skinny and had all filth, like he just went all mangy, and I couldn't bear it, and I gave him a bowl of milk, and now he thinks he lives here.
Well, he looks great.
He looks
now
amazing again. I can't have been the only one who helped. I don't know if he has a home, I have no idea, but every now and again he'll just pop in and have a snooze under the kitchen table.
That's nice.
But the other day I had closed, it was before it got cold, everything was closed, but I left that window open. We were watching TV in the evening. He just walked in. That's really far away from this window, and it's a very confident
like
move for him
invasion.
To do. Like, and he was so chilled. He was like, hey guys, I'm home. It's like, oh, you don't live here, and I don't know how to tell you.
Nonrad.
Oh, Nonrad.
Good cat.
Well, anyway, he's watching the rest of this podcast recording, whether we like it or not. I can't feed you and start. I don't know if you're allowed, if it's someone else's cat. Can you give... I mean, this is sort of at least on the theme of eating, but it's non-rad eating. What are the rules?
I think you've played by the rules quite well. If they look malnutritioned, give them a bit of food, but he looks fine now.
Yeah, and I've never bought food for him. It was just a bit of milk I already had.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I get told off for not asking boy guests on this programme. But often they don't have a very interest, like, it's fine if the answer's no, but maybe the answer isn't no. Would you say you've always had, like, a relatively uncomplicated relationship with eating? Or would you say it's ever got, like, not easy?
Oh, yeah, well, I was very fat as a little boy, and about the ages of, like, 8 to 12. I didn't eat until about 7 or 8. And, like,
wouldn't eat enough?
I wasn't interested in it. I just wanted to play. I didn't like eating. I thought it was a waste of time and boring.
Right.
And my mum was like worried because I was so skinny.
And did you have siblings that did eat? So you weren't...
Yeah, two younger sisters.
Right.
And I think that was just so normal.
Yeah.
I didn't really care about it. And then around 8, I started like building an appetite hard. And I would eat like 2 meals at once, basically.
Yeah.
Every meal. And
making up for lost time.
It was kind of like that. But then I more than made up what was due and then some, because I became basically as wide as I was tall around the age of 10 and 11. I was just huge. And I was just, I didn't care then. I thought it was fun. But then you start noticing girls, and then you start...
Just as puberty
hits. Hit, and suddenly you're very aware of your body. And
there are a few little boys who did that, actually. Like, it feels like a potentially just a natural course of events. Do you know what I mean? Like, generally too busy in the head to give a shit about food, and then be like, oh my God, food's amazing!
Right,
and like filling out, and like, and then puberty hitting, and then it being, and then that kind of leaning down, like just getting leaner again, like concertinaing a bit.
Yeah.
I notice my kid does it on a smaller scale anyway. He's nearly 5. But and he sort of consistently eats loads, but he, which is amazing from a mum's point of view.
Yeah.
But he'll God, you look all grown up and tall and long and thin, and then 3 months later he'll be like, oh, you look all pudge. That must be so surreal to watch.
Yeah,
it's surreal to watch. And if I'm noticing that and I'm seeing him every day, it must be mental for the family and friends that see him like every couple of months, where it's like, whoa. Anyway, sorry. I think that sounds like quite a normal story. Was my point.
That kind of
concertinaing through childhood, especially up into puberty, and then puberty fucks you up anyway in terms of body image and stuff.
I got so desperate that I starved myself.
Oh no!
For one day.
Okay.
One day I was like, it's time. I knit this in the. Oh, it was far beyond the bud at this point. It's time I knit this in the fully blossom flower. And.
Time I knit this in the garden.
and I was like, I'm not going to eat. And like, I did it, but the
what
next
didn't
day.
Eat a thing?
Not a thing.
Oh.
And the next. And I thought. Well, then my body will just have to use up all this fat.
Oh no, it's not how it works.
It's not how
it's
it works
so
at all.
Thick. It's so thick. Mind you, I say that like, adults try that shit all the time.
And I was so like tired and I'm weak, and I didn't do it again after that.
Oh good, I'm happy. That's a happy story.
Yeah,
happy ending to the story.
Yeah, but I've tried to like diet and bits and stuff and exercise, and I found a happy medium with eating now. Like I don't, you know, wreck myself with overeating like I used to.
Yeah.
I took every meal as a sort of challenge to eat as much. And having younger sisters, there's always food left over.
Right.
And so I always felt it fell upon me to finish it up. And my dad, there's a culture, and there seems to be a culture in Malaysia, especially among men, of like eating.
Yeah.
And like, it's good to eat, and it's like, You're a strong man if you didn't eat. And I remember all my dad's friends, if we went like at a function or whatever, and I'd be wolfing the stuff down, and they'd go like, "Wow, your son can eat, huh?" Oh, and my dad, it's like a point of pride.
What weird it is. Like, I suppose it's quite universal type of the mad sort of toxicity of masculinity, isn't it? That kind of like, yeah, good lad. I think that's the other thing, was my kids got it pretty easy as a kid that eats loads, because he is a boy. Like, and it's like, it's quite normal to be like, yeah, well. He's a growing boy. That's it, isn't it? He's a growing boy.
Yeah, my mum will say that a lot.
He's a growing boy. Whereas you just don't hear people say, "She's a growing girl.
No.
She's a big, strong tank. She needs more protein. It's great. Give her some seconds." Whereas, I mean, if we're going to play fair, it's only right that we start talking like that in a completely judgment-free way. Oh God, it's so weird, isn't it? And there's a masculinity as well to any function where it is like, eat what you can. Like those places
it's about devouring and conquering.
There is joy in doing that for fun sometimes, without doubt.
I think.
Like eating to excess, like knowingly going on full and cracking on. Especially like even at a dinner party where someone's made it. I mean, generally by pudding, I don't want any pudding.
Yeah.
I only ever bother with a pudding if it's not going to rude whoever. Like, or if someone's made an amazing pudding, I'd be like, well, I'll find some room.
I'm quite ambivalent about pudding, really.
Yeah, me too. I'm a salt tooth, not a sweet tooth.
Yeah, same.
But that's funny, though, that you don't like dark chocolate, because that's quite savoury, comparatively.
I don't consider chocolate as a savoury flavour. So if it's going to be in my mouth, it needs to commit.
It's so true, actually. The perfect example of where they've gone terribly wrong with that, I would argue, is chocolate-covered rice cakes, which can kiss my dick.
I've never even tried it. It looks so gross.
It's so offensive.
Chocolate and rice.
Dry, puffed rice. Ugh.
I've never tried one. But I don't imagine I would like them.
I've had one that's... I thought, you've judged this too quickly, because you've had like a brand of them where they're not going to give a shit about the chocolate. Like, it's going to be like the kind of chocolate that you'd get in an Aldi advent calendar. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's going to taste of sort of plastic and holidays and...
Yeah, and like...
horror.
It tastes shiny.
Yes, it does.
Have they done it? It tastes shiny.
It's not... This is going to take centuries to break down within me.
Yeah.
but then I tried one that had like a nice chocolate. I knew I liked the chocolate on its own. And it's... If anything, it's worse.
A chocolate rice cake.
Yeah. It's not meant to be... Those things aren't meant to be mingled, I don't think. Chocolate and rice. Although, chocolate porridge is meant to be really nice. Never tried it.
What?
Bit of cocoa. Not actual chocolate, but a bit of cocoa or what is it? We get those nibs.
What are you talking about?
It's porridge.
Yeah.
Do you like porridge?
What kind of porridge?
Well, you just make like a nice creamy porridge. Like an oat kind of water. Yeah, oat porridge.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like with milk rather than water.
Yeah.
Like you don't hate yourself. and then cocoa or cacao nibs and then like some orange zest.
You keep saying nibs. Like,
I think I've got
what
them.
Is a nib?
I don't know how to describe them. It's like
the nib of a
little,
pen.
Tiny little. I suppose like, I think they're raw chocolate drops is the best way of describing it. Like tiny little. You know when you buy chocolate sprinkles or what are they called? Do they look like mini buttons, but you'd use them to stir into cooking?
Oh yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah,
so
yeah,
they're
yeah,
that
yeah.
But they're raw, so they're called cacao nibs or cocoa nibs.
Okay.
And so they're not sweet at all, but they do add a chocolatey flavour.
Nice one. Okay,
so if you do yeah, that nice. A bit of orange zest and then something sweet in it like honey or
yeah, that's syrup. Fine, because that's a confectionery, essentially that's a confectionery dish.
I've just realised, I'm accidentally, subliminally trying to force another sweet breakfast on you that you
but
don't
like
want.
But like salty chocolate or like chili no. chocolate, I'm like, no, I'm not interested.
Oh, really?
I'm not interested.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stay in your lane, I think is the phrase, and okay. I would say that to chocolate.
Don't you lean in.
Lean back, Choc.
Lean back, Choc and Salt. Nonrad's still there. Hey, babe. I think that was quite a sexy wink I just got.
It was. He's done it again. He might just have a twitch.
he might just have a twitch. Let's pretend he loves me. Hangover, what are you having?
Dim sum is the best hangover food.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Favourite dim sum place in London?
I really like Dumplings Legend in Chinatown, but near me on Baker Street is Royal China. Not Royal China Club, which is very cheekily close.
Ooh.
That's a different thing. Royal China on Baker Street is really good.
Oh, yes, please.
And it's, yeah, so like, it's great when you're hungover, you sit down, you just have lots of little porky and prawny and little savory bits, and they're very like enriching and warming and
steamed dumplings,
yeah.
And little bamboo towers.
Yeah, if you can get yourself a little wonton soup as well, that goes down real nice.
I love wonton soup.
Yeah.
And turnip cake.
Yes, turnip cake is really good.
And it's got little bits of like pork or bacon-y
that's right.
in it. But Ortolenghi actually at Christmas did an amazing vegan turnip cake recipe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Oh, he's so sexy.
Don't try to tell me he's not.
I fucking love dim sum. It also, I just think it serves as a really nice alternative, especially in the summer, to like a Sunday roast.
Yes.
Like, it feels like a really nice thing to do that's not going to a pub and having a roast.
It's kind of the Cantonese equivalent of the Sunday roast.
Is it?
Yeah.
Also, I found from my limited experience of only ever having had dim sum in London, but is that also much more family-y than going for a roast. Like, there are pubs that will endure you bringing your kids. And, I don't know, I think kids do sort of ruin pubs a bit once they're bigger than babies. Whereas there, it just seems really normal and okay to have your kids around.
Exactly. It's a family thing. And it's also, if you want to see all the mixed-race Eurasian families in your city, go to the dim sum on Sunday and they're all there.
They're all there.
Yeah, you can keep track of them all there. I've never seen more Eurasian families in a single room than in a dim sum
place. Wow.
Yeah, more than any other kind of restaurant.
Oh, it is the best. It's basically, I mean, it's just like, it's better than tapas. It's the middle of the day, Asian food tapas. Yes, please. Anything that you have a particularly ritualistic way of eating? Like, I suppose the stereotype is Cadbury's cream eggs that people, how do you eat yours? Is there, not necessarily confectionery, is there anything that like, how do you eat an orange? Do you have like a way of eating things? Is there anything that you think demands to be eaten in a particular way? It's a more
I eat an orange like an apple without even peeling it.
Just chomp on through the skin.
Yeah. So people like zest, don't they? But they never commit. It's not like me. What do I...
At school, a friend's dad used to eat an onion like an apple.
Fucking hell.
I mean, he took the skin off.
And how long has he been in prison now?
I don't know. I didn't look it up.
me, did he murder?
Oh, God.
What do I eat? I'm pretty boring, really. I don't have any... if I'm eating something, I do like to get everything, a bit of everything on the fork. Mm. I don't like eat one bit and the next bit. I try to see if I can get so that everything is finished in the same fork, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like every fork has a bit of everything and I time it. Well, not time it, but I proportion everything so that the last fork has everything and it completed in one go.
Whoa, like that's incredibly...
Like Tetris, but I don't always get it.
I was going to say, that's an enormous amount of effort, actually. That's quite hard to do. The only person I've ever seen do that before is, like, even bother to put more than one of a few bits on, let alone get a little bit of everything on, is my Nana. And the only reason she does it is because she talks so much that she's got loads of food left. Like, everybody's eaten much quicker than her, and it's always like, oh, hurry up, Nana. So she knows that when she does have a mouthful, it's got to be one hell of a big mouthful. Yeah. But I suppose that is... a sign that you're eating good food, because it's generally a chef's intention that those flavours combine beautifully, right, I suppose. It's a testament to the chef eating like that.
That said, I do have a like ramen or noodle soup. What's the word you used?
Ritual,
which I asked someone who lived in Japan and told me, and I haven't done it since, is that every bowl of noodle soup, every bowl of ramen, the custom is to have just a spoon of the soup first on its own.
Uh-huh.
And then you have... And then you then can have
acid.
All the other bits.
That's it.
But the first spoon is just the soup. Yeah.
With that, I find it quite awkward to sip from those, like... What are they? Hexagonal spoons.
Oh, yeah. The big sort of shallow coconut soup. Shell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where those are from. I don't know who came up with those.
I mean, not the... I mean, I don't know. I'm probably just doing something wrong with my mouth. I don't... You're holding it.
Yeah, like you've got a ladle. You've got a personal
wooden
ladle, bamboo ladle, and you have to like...
And then you get it up.
I think it's a bit silly.
I think I'm lacking a bit of wrist mobility.
I don't think it shouldn't be expected of you. I've not seen it anywhere else. I've not seen a spoon. I never saw it in Asia. I've only seen it here.
Is or isn't it okay, in your opinion, at the end of a ramen, if you've got room for it, to guzzle the broth from the bowl?
That's the point. Yeah, you're supposed to.
Pick it up and drink it from the bowl.
That is the custom.
So if that's okay, why can't you, instead of trying to use the bamboo ladle, one woman ladle spoon, just have that initial sip before you get stuck in, just straight from the bowl, from the edge of the bowl?
I think the problem then is there's still a lot that can go wrong, because
right.
There's a lot in there, and you know, there's a lot on you to control yourself, and you know, it's not just soup that's left. You know, everything is in there.
Yeah.
So you're going to get little bits of meat and mushroom and noodle just sort of floating into your draining mouth. It's just, there's not very much control. And it's quite heavy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to lose if you drop it. I think
that's so true, actually.
I think that's probably why it's not done.
Yeah, makes sense. What's the most emotional reaction food has ever given you?
There is a restaurant I've spoken about before on podcasts, like that means anything, but there's a restaurant in Pulau Pinang in Malaysia called Kebaya, and it is Peranakan food, which is, Peranakan people are like, they're half Malay, half Chinese people of Peninsular Malaysia, and there are a lot in Penang, and it's a Peranakan place. And they have lots of delicious kind of fancy things. It's like a salmon roe and betel leaf starter. But they as a side dish, they do just a very simple stir-fried greens and olive sauce.
Mm.
And, you know, I imagine you've spoken about Proust's Madeleine on this podcast.
No.
You know Proust's Madeleine?
No.
So Proust, Marcel Proust, a French novelist, he writes in... one of his most famous novel, I can't remember the title, but he writes about the experience of dipping madeleines in tea and eating them.
Ugh.
And it being a very emotionally stirring moment, and he investigates what it is and he realizes it's taken him back to a childhood memory of him as a child and his aunt dunking madeleines in tea and eating it. And so now this general term of Proust's Madeleine is just any piece of food, any piece of eating that takes you involuntarily back to some memory.
Beautiful.
And this very simple stir-fried It was also, to be more pretentious about it, the Platonic ideal of this dish, which is like the perfect version of this dish.
Yes.
Of just stir-fried greens in oyster sauce and with like fried shallots. And it just instantly took me back to just a normal night in Malaysia eating a basic rice dish with fried fish and just some oyster fried greens. And I found that very emotional.
Glorious. Oh, how lovely.
Say scrum diddly umptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrum diddly umptious.
A supervillain minister does a weird new economic policy, which means that all hair, goes on furlough. At first it's fine, fun even, what with the shock and the shininess of everything, but then the true horror kicks in. It's freezing, slippery, so many naked heads are weird shapes, hairdressers and waxers are all unemployed, loads of rodents and mammals are in mortal danger from the cold, let alone from depression because of how disgusting they look. But luckily, the hair agrees to come back to work, but only if you, and weirdly, it does have to be you, Phil, do 100 Cossack squats on top of a very fast-moving car. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero.
Okay.
So your reward in actuality is you've gone down in history as a saviour of all mankind from a hairless existence. You've gone down in history as a god, a saviour, a warrior.
Okay. I mean, this question seems resolved.
But your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams.
Oh, okay.
But unlike your last meal, this is your best meal. I want you to imagine that you are the most high, yet the most hungry that you could possibly be.
Wow, okay.
So those moments of real hunger, at the moment I've noticed that if I have a really long sleep, I don't normally care about breakfast, but the moment if I have a really long, really like a nice long sleep that I've needed for 2 weeks, and then I wake up and I'm like, oh God, I do really want to, but I feel great because I've had the sleep. It's like, ooh, I'm a woman on the edge. Like that, I want that sort of hunger, but also you're happy. This isn't And so it's a fantasy meal as well. So I don't care. I couldn't give a fuck about health or ethics, etc.
Oh, I know that.
And also, I don't really care if it's possible, to be honest.
Okay.
This can be, and things don't have to go together unless that's important to you. However you want to play it, as much or as little as you want. So I'd love to know what you'd eat, what you'd drink, and if there's a who, with, and where, then who, with, and where.
The dish that I always want, no matter where I am, what I'm doing, is char kway teow.
Oh, what's this?
It's, you know hor fun noodles, those flat noodles? So char kway teow is a Malaysian dish where it's hor fun noodles, but it's like really char stir-fried, and it's sort of black and charred, and usually comes with like little fish bits of fish cake, a little bit of chicken. The strict recipe has little clams in it as well, and little bits of fried egg. And it's just so delicious and so savory and so earthy. And yeah, I'm salivating just thinking about it.
Yes.
And so I would have just unlimited amounts of char kway teow.
Yes, please.
A little bowl of frankfurters.
Nice.
I love a cheap frankfurter. I love it.
Do you want a dip for them? You're just having them on their own.
I just have them on their own.
So they're so salty. I hear you.
I love it. Wonton soup.
Oh God, I haven't had that for ages.
Maybe like a really nice, like sticky lamb shank.
Okay, nice.
Like a sticky slow cooked lamb shank. I mean, I'm really piling it on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point.
A good, like, potato dauphinoise.
Lovely.
And then to drink, like, a light red, maybe the best orange wine, or, like, the finest orange wine you can find. Or actually, like, an old, like, Penfold Shiraz.
Nice.
Like the Penfolds Grange, I think is, you know, that's their sort of big label here. So something like that from like the 70s or something.
Okay.
And then dessert, banoffee pie.
Oh, yes.
It's the best dessert.
And is there a who with a
no one is there but me.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, I love it.
I'm in my tum. What a lush boy Phil Wang is. Follow him on the internet, I reckon. He's on Twitter as Phil N. Wang. His tour dates are rescheduled until early next year as well. You have to go and see him. It's all on his website, which I think is philwang.co.uk. He's also half of the team behind a brilliantly funny podcast, which I'm sure you already listened to. He's co-hosts a podcast called Bud Pod with the funny, beautiful poppet and former Hooverer, Pierre Novelli. I am also on tour. My show is called Hench. I'm not on tour right now, although there is one date on the 24th of October. It is more likely that you'll be coming to one of the dates early next year. They're all on my website, jessicafosterq.com. Feel free to support the podcast with lovely reviews or recommendations, or with your actual money if you want. Go to either Acast Supporter or Patreon. There's links to ways you can help out and spread the word about the podcast, all on the podcast notes as ever. Make sure you're following us at the Hoovering Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And we're on at the Facebook too. Who looks at that? I still do sometimes. Just to talk to your family. And anyway, follow me as well if you want, at Jessica Foster Q on all of the social medias. Anything longer than a tweet to send me, email me. You can do that through my website, jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.